The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, beginning to read at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still do not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Last Sunday, we celebrated Easter Sunday, where Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after he was dead. This is what Christians call the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this week, we are starting a series of sermons on the people who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Today, I shall be focusing on Mary Magdalene. It is important that we examine some of these eyewitness accounts because Christianity hangs on whether Jesus rose from the dead after his death on the cross. If the resurrection did not happen, the Apostle Paul says that Christians are to be pitied. Our faith is futile, useless. You're believing in a fairy tale. But if Jesus rose from the dead, it proves that he is God and that he has power over sin and death. Now, how is this? Well, the Bible teaches that physical death and spiritual death, that is separation from God, they are the results of man's rebellion and sin against God. Jesus' resurrection is therefore the guarantee that we who put our faith in Jesus Christ are forgiven of our sins, and that one day we shall be raised to new life after our death. Now, the facts are very clear. The tomb where Jesus was buried was empty. His body was never found. Yet many of his followers claim to have seen and talked with Jesus over a 40-day period in different places, at different times of day, whilst doing different things like fishing or eating or talking. And when Jesus was crucified, his 11 disciples went into hiding. Judas, of course, hanged himself, so there were 11 left. None of them believed that what Jesus told them, that he would rise from the dead. Against their will, they later believed because Jesus appeared to them. And this is where Mary Magdalene comes in. She was the very first eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like many of Jesus' followers, she moved from not believing in what Jesus said would happen to shock and awe and fear, and then to living faith and joy when they realized that Jesus has done exactly what he said he would do. Who is this Mary Magdalene? Well, there are about seven Marys in the Bible, and of course the Jewish equivalent would be Miriam. But Mary Magdalene was from Magdala. It's a thriving fishing town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee in Israel. The town still exists, although under a different name. She was called Mary Magdalene from Magdala to distinguish her from the many Marys who followed Jesus, including Mary's mother. Mary Magdalene was delivered, according to the Gospel of Luke, she was delivered from seven demons. We can only imagine her suffering and torment before Jesus miraculously healed her. She, along with some other women, helped to support Jesus and his disciples in their work. Food and money did not appear miraculously to feed Jesus and his disciples. It was the sacrificial giving of these women that made it possible. They supported Jesus because of their gratitude to him for healing them, as Luke says, from evil spirits and diseases. Now, every time Easter comes round, you would hear the name Mary Magdalene. Why does she hold such a special place in the Easter story? Well, you know, when Jesus was arrested and crucified, his disciples went into hiding. But Mary Magdalene was there during the last hours of Jesus' suffering on the cross on Good Friday, along with Jesus' mother, his aunt, and John, his close disciple. She remained by the cross till it was all over. She waited until the body was taken down on Friday as evening approached. And then she and Mary, the mother of Joseph, another Mary this is, followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to the tomb and saw how Jesus was wrapped in linen and laid in it. The tomb where Jesus was buried is not like the graves you see here in Britain, where the deceased is buried under the ground. The tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea was cut out of a rock on a hillside. It's almost cave-like. It had a low entrance, so a person had to bend over to look in. I went into one in Jerusalem some years back, and you had to bend over to get into this cave-like structure, the tomb. And it was dark, it was damp, it was musty, and there was a ledge, almost like a shelf, where you would put the body. And I was there just looking at where Jesus would have been placed. And when I was there, a group of very huge, large, about six African women came in, all very excited, and pushed me aside. And I really felt suffocated. I escaped with my life very quickly and ran out of the tomb. In today's passage from the Gospel of John, we read this. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, the spoken language of the day which Jesus used. She said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. That's the gospel according to John. There are three important things to note here. Firstly, skeptics who reject the resurrection of Jesus, that he really rose from the dead, say that he did not die on the cross, but merely became unconscious from exhaustion and loss of blood, but revived in the tomb. And this is where Mary Magdalene comes in. She, along with other women, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and crucially the Roman soldiers, they could testify that Jesus died. The Gospels say that the Roman soldiers made sure Jesus was dead by thrusting a spear onto his side. And the Gospel of John recorded that they saw blood and water come out separately. Now, most of us, and they certainly, did not know the significance of why, when you pierce a body, blood and water came out separately. That's weird. But as you know, the blood that you see is red in color, and they're made of blood cells, and they're made up of plasma, which is the clear, watery bit of the blood. What happens is that the Gospel of John records that blood and water came out of Jesus when his body was pierced. This meant that the blood cells had begun to separate from the plasma, the clear, watery bit of the blood. This would only happen when the blood stops and when the heart stops, and therefore the blood stops circulating. Medically, this means that Jesus had already died before the spear was pierced onto his side. That's the significance of that. Besides, how could anyone who was severely tortured and wounded wrap up in long bandage like grave cloths, covered in 75 pounds weight or 34 kilograms of pungent spices, had a cloth wrapped around his face, put into an airless tomb, possibly survive? If he wasn't dead when he was put into the tomb, he would soon enough. At any rate, who would worship a half-dead medical emergency ICU case, tottering around claiming he rose from the dead? Secondly, skeptics who reject the resurrection say it wasn't Jesus who died on the cross. Islam, for example, claims that Allah made someone to look like Jesus, and this unknown person was crucified instead of Jesus. But here again, Mary Magdalene comes in. The Gospel of John records that Mary Magdalene, Jesus' mother, and his aunt Mary, who is the wife of Clopas, were standing by the cross. How could these women, who were so close to Jesus, not recognize Jesus? And while Jesus was at the cross, he commanded his close disciple John to take care of his mother Mary. His voice was clear enough. They knew it was Jesus. The Gospels point out that his enemies, the Jewish leaders, the Roman centurion and soldiers, they all witnessed Jesus' crucifixion. It's impossible to deny that it was Jesus himself at the cross. Thirdly, skeptics of the resurrection claim that the women who reported the body missing had gone to the wrong tomb. The problem with this theory, again, Mary Magdalene comes in, is that Mary, mother of Mary and of James and Joseph, they were there when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea buried Jesus in the tombs. They knew where it was. They were there. The women who went to the tomb on Sunday morning knew where they were going. Anyway, when the disciples heard about the resurrection or rumors of it, they and Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus or the Roman soldiers can easily find the tomb and confirm or deny the absence of Jesus' body. At any rate, Jesus appeared to these women later. So what can we learn from the story of Mary Magdalene? Firstly, it shows the truth of the resurrection. Easter is not about rabbits, spring flowers, chocolates, or fairy tale. And we had great fun with our granddaughter who was here with us, and we put little chocolate in the garden, and she had to hunt for them. But this is not what primarily Easter is about. It is about God becoming man, dying for our sins, and conquering death, which is God's penalty for the sins of mankind. Our eternal future hinges on the historical reality of the resurrection. Although Mary Magdalene had the honor of being the first person, man or woman, the first person to see Jesus on early Sunday, Jesus appeared at least 12 times to others within a 40-day period. They cannot be hallucinations because they took place at various times of day in different locations to individuals as well as groups of people, including to over 500 people at the same time. Now, those of you who watch enough whodunit films or who are lawyers know that in a court of law, it is sufficient for one reliable eyewitness account to clinch the case. But here we have over 500 reliable eyewitness accounts. One of the most compelling reasons for believing that the 11 disciples did not make this up was that all of them, except John, the apostle who died in exile in Patmos, they suffered horribly violent, painful deaths for their faith. Peter, for example, was martyred in Rome by Nero, crucified upside down at his request because he did not consider himself worthy of Jesus to die exactly like him. Every one of them, including the apostle Paul, who was beheaded, they went to their deaths proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified, died, and risen. Now, people sometimes die for something they believe to be true, even though it may not be true. But no one willingly dies for something painfully, for something they know is a lie. Secondly, the whole story of Mary Magdalene shows God's grace and mercy to you, no matter what your social status and position is. Mary was the first person to see Jesus after he rose from the dead. This is very significant because women had a very low status in first century Jewish culture, so much so that the first century Jewish man, thank God that he was not born a Gentile, that is a non-Jew, a slave, or a woman. Women were not allowed to testify in a court of law because they were considered unreliable witnesses. By honoring Mary in this way and including women amongst his followers against cultural norms, Jesus wanted to show the world that God created men and women to be of equal value and importance. What was significant in the resurrection accounts was that Jesus' next appearance after Mary, who was that to? It was to the other women who went to the tomb with Mary Magdalene. That is Mary, wife of Clopas, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, Joanna, and Salome. If anyone wanted to invent a resurrection story, he would never have used women to be the first witnesses in view of the cultural bias, but not once, twice. He chose them to be the first witnesses. But the Gospels did. This is an indication that the resurrection account was authentic and true. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. People of both sexes, all racial groups. I'm Chinese, and we have Indians in our church, and we have all sort of social classes. We have rich and poor. We can all become God's children in Christ. Interestingly, isn't it? It wasn't to kings or the rulers or the high priest that Jesus first appeared, but simple, ordinary people. It means God loves us. God loves you. Whatever your social class and status, whatever you look like, however you have messed up your life and how we do mess up our life. And no matter what others think of you, Jesus died for you because he loves you. Finally, the story of Mary Magdalene is a story of faithfulness and devotion. Mary, along with a few other women, they followed Jesus and supported him and his disciples over the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. She stayed with Jesus at the cross till he died. Unlike the disciples who went into hiding because of fear, she was there. She followed him to his burial. She was the first to go to the tomb. She wept her heart out when she saw it empty, thinking grave robbers had stolen the body, perhaps. She rejoiced greatly when Jesus appeared to her, clinging onto her. Mary was there when the others were not. What devotion to Jesus. She puts many of us to shame by our lack of love for the Savior who suffered and died for us, for our sins, and rose again. But it is also a story of God's faithfulness to you. Jesus had compassion on Mary and healed her from demon possession, whereas others would tie them out and run away from them. But Jesus healed her. Jesus loved and cared for her despite the social obstacles. A religious Jewish man would not openly associate with a woman, but he did. Isn't it true that it is often the most broken among us who turn to God? Those who are forgiven much, love much. Sadly, many of us think we are good enough for God. We think we can do it all on our own, and we find that we can't. In the pandemic we are facing, many have lost lives, livelihood, loved ones, jobs, businesses, careers, homes, and their dreams are shattered. Others have experienced ill health. So many people have mental health problems, breakdowns in relationships, and even domestic abuse. We hear so much about it. It can be a very dark, lonely world out there, full of inward pain that you cannot always reveal to someone else. But it's in there. Yet into this darkness and the uncertainties, Jesus' resurrection means he's alive today and he's with you where you are. He has the divine sovereign power which can hold you in the storms of life. And how the storms of life assail us so often. He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. According to the Gospel of John, he put it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And the Apostle Paul says this in Romans, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us and rose for us. How shall we respond to this love and mercy of Christ to us? Well, for those who are not Christians, a simple message is this. Believe in the risen Christ. Trust in him. Commit your life to him. He's alive and he loves you. And to those who are Christians, rejoice. What you believe in is true. And you can fully trust in this God who loves you enough to die for you. Because of his resurrection, we are absolutely certain of forgiveness of sins. And that one day when we die, as we all certainly will, we will rise again one day like Jesus to a place where there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more illness, no more disease, but we will be with God. In the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen.